Hi, and welcome to the Just Riding Along show.
Hello and welcome to episode 193. Tonight's show is birthday show.
44 Club.
Yep, I'm 44 today, and Kenny, you turned, what, like 28 a few days
An
ago?
An undisclosed number. An undisclosed number in the 40s, and that was a couple days ago, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. He's a 40 that's lower than mine.
I'm still in my 30s. Ha. What else are we going to talk about tonight?
Well, usually we start by talking about what we've done in the past week. And you always start because you're like, I'm talking, so I'm going to go first.
I don't have shit to talk about this week, so.
Boom. Next.
Kenny should go.
All right.
I'll just run through it. I didn't ride my bike. I didn't ride my moto. I did yard work again. And I've just been trying. Being an adult is hard sometimes, and I've just been being an adult. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, sometimes being an adult is hard, but for the most part, it's pretty easy. Like, don't make terrible,
you're right.
Don't make terrible life decisions. And if you compound day after day of not making horrible life decisions, it, like, most days are pretty easy. It's real simple.
Speak for yourself.
All right, am I going?
Yeah.
Sure.
Excellent. Nothing super exciting. I have been on the moto. I have been trying to get to the top of a particular mountain in a way in which you're not supposed to do it.
Like legally or?
Oh, no. I mean, this is a trash mountain. No one gives a shit about it. And any trail, quote unquote, that I would cut would be like grown back in a year or two, I'm sure. It's more just me. I did go out with my saw and I cut off like some limbs so you can kind of figure out like what trees you need to go in between, if that makes sense. I haven't like cut any trees down. Anyway, I'm trying to get up a side of a mountain, and I made it up a little bit further than I did last weekend, which is pretty cool. So I've been like kind of cutting a little bit of trail and figuring out what way's cool and finding some like cool rock ledges that you can go up. And
how tall is the mountain?
Yeah, 2,000 feet
or like
2,500 feet.
Like elevation, like start to finish elevation.
Probably,
gain, or?
Yeah, it probably starts at 5 and goes to, well, it starts around 5 and goes to 8. So my math says that's 3, but maybe it starts at 55. I'm not sure, but it ends at 8. Anyway, so it's in the 2,500 foot ballpark, and it's pretty steep. And there was like some trail up for maybe the first 1,000 feet, and it turns from like a side-by-side trail into like single track and then into nothing. And so the last half is nothing. So that's what I've been working on, and I made it up really, really, really far, and I got to an insanely steep part. But it's weird. I get in the mode where when you've been on steep stuff for so long, I'll look at the next bit that I get stuck at, and I'm like, oh, you should be able to make it up. That's like not that bad. But the problem is it's already so steep, and like you can't get started, and it's like loose and shaley and off camber, and all of a sudden I'm like side-hilling my bike, and my bike is like 3 feet higher than I am, and I'm like trying to hold on to it. I'm just walking like across the mountain trying to like find some new lineup. Anyway, so I had a little bit of that. And
dude,
that sounds like
just,
my hike
hold
today,
on, let me
except
just,
with the motorcycle.
Let me just interrupt real quick. That sounds like something that needs to be burned in with a trials bike.
It really probably does. I would love to have help and see if we can figure out a lineup this thing. And I guarantee I want to go back.
Matt has an electric trials bike for sale.
I already have.
Yeah, dude, you need.
I already have electric bikes, and I was on the electric moto. I would probably not, with my skill level and the tires I have on there, I would not have been able to have made it as high as I did on the Husky. The Husky has the capability of doing it. I don't. So the e-moto, when stuff gets really gnarly like this, and there's a lot of stop and start, it's a way better tool for the job, in my opinion. And I got big old freaking knobby tires on it and everything. So, yeah. And it was kind of a cool day.
It also weighs a lot less.
So when you get into the ship, it is actually 60 pounds lighter. And when the bike is, you know, falling over on top of you and slash falls down the mountain a little bit on the Husky, it would be a very, very bad time. Plus, I'm like, I'm by myself and I'm in a place where there's not a trail. So the weather was crazy. It was stupid windy. And so there were all kinds of just nutty noises going on all around me because there's all kinds of little canyons and stuff all around. And it's just a big old mountain range. And it sounded like fighter jets constantly flying overhead, basically. It was really crazy and eerie.
That's how it was here yesterday.
Yeah, so super weird. And there was some maybe weather rolling in. So I was worried about, you know, lightning is not really a thing here. But I was worried about like, you know, some flash rain. So I was kind of like paying attention to that. And I was getting tired, and it was probably an hour, hour and a half in, and I had been like cutting trees and, you know, lugging the bike around and getting stuck and turning around and trying some other lines. And all this was happening. It was just so loud around me. I didn't really think about much. And I did stop to like look at some stuff because it's just really pretty out there. It's like an old, possibly some old mining had gone on there at some point. I'm not really positive. But anyway, I'm doing my thing. I'd gotten like really stuck. And I was looking for this last little crux section to see if I could figure out a way to get up it. And I'm just kind of like trudging around, walking around. The bike's like laid down on its side. I'm kind of walking in this maybe, you know, 100-foot radius, trying to just spot a line. Because there's huge, like, you know, 4-foot diameter trees down and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, and I hear a noise that was like not quite the same noise. And I'm like, ah, maybe it's an animal or something. Yeah, it was a rattlesnake, and he was like,
oh, fuck.
Yeah, it was extremely, it was a matter of 3 feet from me. And I'm like, okay, it's a
I mean, at least you had like, you had moto boots.
Oh, that's
on,
the
right?
thing. I think I did think about it a little bit through. And in that moment, I saw him. I didn't like super freak out. I just kind of like walked the other direction. But it, definitely, you know, I perked up real fast. Because it just took me, if it was super quiet, it would have registered so fast. I've heard plenty of rattlesnakes, but because it was so loud, like background noise, it just didn't really occur to me what it was. And then I heard it, saw it, and I was like, shit. And I just kind of walked away, and it wasn't like full coiled. It was, he was kind of like, you know, being long. And I assume the physics of a snake is when he was being long.
He was being long.
Yeah, when he's being long, he can't really jump, right?
I mean, yeah, I
like snakes don't work. Snakes
accurate.
Don't work that way.
I know what the name of this show is now. Snakes don't work that way. But no, you're right. That was probably like the, hey, dude, leave me alone. I'm just trying to get some
of this.
Yeah,
exactly.
It
so,
wasn't like
a, yo, there's a snake doing long snake.
Yeah.
Shit,
so he was being a long snake. So I wasn't as concerned because he wasn't being a coily snake. But I did move away. And then I definitely thought really quickly, like, hey, what do you do? And I'm like, hey, I'm in moto boots. I'm like, hey, if he lunges at me, I'm going to basically jump up as high as I can and like let him.
Oh, have you ever, Kenny, do you know how fast a snake strike is?
Sure. But I'm just saying like as that happens, I'm at least going to try to like get high as in like if he moves and there's any kind of movement, like if he's going to lunge at me, hey, maybe he'll bite me. But I'm at least going to at that point get somewhat vertical. And my thought is I'm going to at least get 1 foot on him. And the second I got 1 foot on him, the second foot's going on his head. Like it was the.
No, let
get
me,
body,
let me explain to you, because I saw this on the internet.
Get head.
So in the time that, like, when the snake starts moving, the time it takes your eyes to register movement from the snake, send that signal to your brain, and your brain to send that signal to your legs to jump, that snake will have already bitten you.
Well, you'd have to unlong first.
Yeah,
so
he would have to unlong
but
first.
But he was long. I was basically, if he was going to more like slither in my direction closer to me, if he was gaining on me as I was walking away, I was then going to just like jump on the fucking snake and then somewhere in the middle of the long snake, and then the other foot was going to go on his head.
In terms of longness, how long was the long snake? Was it 3 feet long? Was it 12 feet long?
No, he was probably three, maybe slightly over three. Could have been a four.
Okay.
And we get bull snakes around here, and they're not poisonous, but they're kind of grouchy.
Sometimes you can be really high, and you see one, and you shit in your pants.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
When we were hiking?
Yeah.
I didn't know. I don't remember.
This was not
really
a this was not a bull snake. Sure. I could tell this was rattlesnake because of the way that it was.
Well, I'm glad your front didn't fall off.
Yeah. So anyway, I didn't get bit by a snake, but it was the push I needed to like, okay, you got to this section, you dicked around for 10 minutes, you know, it's getting later in the day. Like the sun was not setting, but like it was really cloudy because it was really windy.
The shadows were kind of long.
Yep. And the snake was long. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to leave now. So I left and haven't quite. The cool thing is when I get to the top, it connects to another trail, which would be really cool. And there's no particular reason to do this other than it's fun to look at stuff on Google Maps and go like, I think I can ride that ridgeline all the way up. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Well, now what you do is you go to the top on the other trail and you start working your way down to where you were.
And that's what I was about to ask is how far apart are you from Long Boy to Top Out in either vertical feet or miles?
I only have about 100 more vert feet and about probably... maybe 200 yards.
Oh, yeah, totally. I'd go to the top and figure that shit out from the top.
Yeah, I think that's going to be my next guess. Now, the reason I didn't do this to begin with is because I've almost got myself into trouble before. When you start launching yourself down a mountain on a moto, you can get to a point where you can't get back up again. But now that I know that I know based on maps and where I've gotten to that even if it was ultra steep and I had to do like a drop or something like that, worst case is I just can't go back up and I can go all the way back around. No big deal.
Yeah, but I mean, that sounds like such a short distance. You would just park your bike at the top and like...
Yeah, you can walk, scout it like, from
scout
the top.
On foot from the top.
Yeah, I guess I could. I'm the kind of person that would just ride my motorcycle down. But that's okay. Why I almost get in trouble. But that's a very good idea. In this case, I'd probably just send it because I know that, hey, if I can get down at least to this point, then even if I have to go maybe side saddle on the mountain for a second, I can get back to that ridge.
You just take a left at the snake.
Yeah. Yeah. But it'd also be in my head, like that snake lives over there. Like he lives at the crux, which is crazy. So he might be the end boss.
Well, that's, you're going to call your trail like
Rattlesnake Ridge.
No. So like, that's like the obvious thing. Rattlesnake Ridge.
I'm going to call it Long Boy.
Yeah, like it's like the Long Boy Trail.
So anyway, that's my little story. That's all I've been doing.
Well, cool. I had a hike today that was a lot like your moto ride. So there's this place in Howard. Well, in Howard, we have Howard Creek.
Holy shit.
Yeah, imagine that. It comes down out of the mountains and runs into the Arkansas River.
Do you think Howard Creek was there first and that's what named the town? Or was the town named and then someone named the river Howard?
I don't know.
I think that someone named that little zone because the epicenter, downtown Howard and Howard Creek, are the same place. So I would guess that the
town probably came first.
Or just
because the creek
area
also runs through, I don't know, like back in the early 1900s, there was a town on Howard Creek higher up called Calcite. And yeah, it's not Calcite Creek.
So. Sounds like some people might be getting lazy, right? Just naming it Howard River and like Howard Rock and Howard Road and Howard Junction and Howard Creek and Howard whatever other weird mountain.
What's
names.
Really funny is when you're on in Howard, you turn on Howard Creek Road to go to Howard Creek. So
yeah. So, yeah, so I went up Howard Creek Road, and it's funny because the drainage, I know Kenny loves that term.
Mm-hmm, I do.
It's called Green Gulch. And there's a lot of old logging and mining stuff up
is
there.
Is a gulch and a drainage
also,
the same thing?
A gulch is typically a little smaller than a drainage, mm-hmm. And that tracks, yeah, so.
Is that, would that be like near a holler?
Yeah, I think there might be a holler close by to there, too. So, anyway.
I don't think we get hollers, I think we get canyons.
Yeah, probably. This is almost a canyon. So this, where Howard Creek runs, at one point, it's kind of starts out very wide. This valley starts out very wide, and I've been trying to go up this creek. I've tried at least three other times, and I've tried from the other side of the valley where I've found old logging roads and stuff. And when I say old logging roads, I mean like this is defunct, like early 1900s shit. Like the stumps on these roads were cut down with non-gas powered equipment because they're all like knee to waist high and they're old and gray and cracked and covered in moss. So, and I've tried like three times from that side and I just run into this really, really awful blowdown. And I can do some bushwhacking, but it just gets to where it's just fucking terrible. And so I went to the other side of the valley this time, found another old logging road and started to go up that. And at first it seemed really good. But then I got to where the valley got really, really steep, like more like a canyon. And the old road had just been like rockfalled and mudslid and whatever into the creek, basically. And then there was just a bunch of blowdown. And just a tip for anyone, if you find yourself in a bushwhacking situation, and this sounds a lot like what Kenny was saying too, like about, you know, I went up this other steep shit, I can do like the next steep shit. Just don't, and if you're afraid of heights, don't look down. If you're bushwhacking, don't look way in front of you because it all just kind of blends into one wall of like logs and thorns and shit like that. Concentrate on like the next one or two logs. Like look 10 feet ahead of you, get through that. then look 10 feet ahead of you and get through that. Like, you'd be amazed at when you do that, something that looked like there was no way through the next, say, like 100 feet of just masses of logs and thorns. Like, you just start to see, like, the opening. So that's my little pro tip for bushwhacking, to take it 10 feet at a time. And yeah, and I got up to where I figured, just based on terrain, like topographical lines on the map, I was like, I know there's probably going to be a game trail kind of coming into this part of the valley at about 9,800 feet. And sure enough, I got to there and it kind of opened up a little bit. It was nice. I heard this noise that sounded, first, it was like, Kenny, it was like what you were saying, like there was a ton of wind. And I heard a noise that sounded kind of like a crow. And I didn't really think much of it because you just hear crows all the time and the wind's blowing and it's just background noise. And the wind kind of dies down as I get around a little corner and I'm like, that is not a crow, because it's like not echoing, right? Like, it's something on the ground. It's an animal. And I'm just looking around and trying to find, like, look for any kind of movement or anything on the other side of the valley. And it's probably 400 yards away. Like, it's a long way over there. And I see something brown moving around, but it's small. And then it kind of runs up the hill a little bit and disappears. And I'm pretty sure it was a baby bear. And it's the right time of year for baby bears to be out. So luckily it was very far away from me. So I think it just saw me. Maybe my scent was blowing over there. I don't know. It heard me crashing through the woods. And it was calling for mom. And yeah, I mean, the moms go away and hunt and stuff. But they're generally within earshot, I think. And yeah, so I wasn't like in danger of running into an angry mama bear, but that was kind of cool.
Do you mostly have black bears, I assume?
Yeah.
Are there like any grizzly bears in that state or not really?
No, they're not supposed to be.
Lord help me.
Yeah, you never know. We got wolves now. But yeah. Yeah, so saw a little bear, saw a giant morel mushroom that I did not pick because I suddenly have developed a morel mushroom sensitivity. It leads to extreme gastric distress. And I know what you're thinking, Andrea, you picked a mushroom that wasn't a morel. Well, in Colorado, we've got like two things that kind of look like morels, and neither one of them is poisonous as long as you cook it. Morels, if you eat them raw, like if you look up old news stories about morel mushroom poisoning, if you eat them raw, they're bad for you. Like, there was a bunch of people in Montana that got sick a few years ago because I think some restaurant served them in a salad. And yeah, that'll fuck you up. As long as you cook them, totally cool. I cook the hell out of these. I always do. Saute them in just a little bit of butter with salt and pepper, put them on a hamburger, and woke up around 1 a.m. and evacuated my entire digestive system. So that was unpleasant. And I started looking around on the internet the next day while I was laying around and just not feeling great. I wasn't like, you know, still sick or anything, but I just didn't feel good. And yeah, it turns out you can just develop a food sensitivity to them. And I know this has got to be true, like the way that people have described it, because the same thing happened to me a few years ago with duck eggs. So like I had duck egg, like a little bit of like one duck egg, and got just like indigestion, just like stomach cramps and stuff. And it went away. Then like, you know, a week or two later made a, I don't know, like a big egg bowl with two of them, and just got really, really sick exactly the same way. Just a few hours later, just total evacuation of the GI tract, the entire GI tract. So yeah, like I guess that just happened to me. So I had a friend of mine on Instagram, a girl that I'd met like in CrossFit and, you know, just Instagram friends. And she had asked me a few weeks before about, she's like, how do you find morels around here? And I gave her some like decent tips. I wasn't super vague about it, but I didn't like give her my good spots or anything. And I messaged her and I'm like, hey, here's some GPS points. I can't eat these anymore. So I told her, I was like, if you find them, keep it a secret. It's like, it's a secret you just will to your children. And so I messaged her. I'm like, hey, since I don't have kids, I'm going to send these to you. And yeah, so that happened. And in other news, so I'm going to talk the most out of everyone for the second time in like a month. That's amazing. I went to the hand doctor and he walked in the room and he's kind of shuffling his papers and looking at them, and he looks at me and he's like, you know, I looked at your EMG results, and I have to say I was very surprised when I saw how bad it was and how young you are. And yeah, it turns out I have really bad carpal tunnel syndrome. Like, he even said, this isn't the worst that I've seen, but it's the worst I've seen in someone your age. And this isn't like a fresh out of medical school doctor. This man's been around a little while. And yeah, so that's probably what's been bothering me the most. I mean, yeah, there's some fucky stuff happening in my neck. But when I looked at symptoms for carpal tunnel, I basically was describing carpal tunnel syndrome to my doctor, and they just missed it because I guess the pain, since it was radiating up my arm and down my arm, like along with my hand, they just zoned in on my neck. And yeah, so I'm going to have hand surgery on June 13th, which is a Friday. So there will probably not be a JRA for a week or two. I'm just going to play it by ear.
Or a boys show, whatever.
I mean, you guys, I mean, I'll do this. We can record. I just can't edit. Like, I'm not going to say I can edit a JRA show.
That's fine. I know how to do it.
A 2-inch long gash in my hand.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's been my week. Got my garden all ready to plant. Probably going to plant some plants tomorrow.
Okay. We ready to talk about new stuff?
Yeah, let's talk about new stuff.
Okay. Let's pay the wolf tooth tax, but with lots of sarcasm. Wolftooth now has a pump for the new click valve stem system.
What's the click valve stem? Didn't we look at that? We
mentioned it on a previous show, but we should probably maybe go back over it.
Was that the pump that I said it looked cool, but it sucks that it was like kind of a shitty looking pump with a cool system?
Yeah, I mean, but you buy a $70 pump and then $36 valves, and then valve cores are $6 each. And then you can get a Schrader head adapter for $14. Like, there's nothing wrong with fucking Presta valves. And if you really think there's something wrong with Presta valves, Stans makes tubeless Schrader valves. Just grab that. I don't know what size it is. I have it marked in our drill bit set at work. And just make your shit Schrader valve. But I swear to God, if I come across somebody with a flat tire and they're like, oh, can you inflate my clicks? I'm probably just going to throw their bike off the mountain and ride away.
Why you gotta be a dick about it?
Because what's gonna happen is, like, your pump only works on your wheel.
I mean, and it's not a huge deal, right? Just carry a Presta valve with you. The cool thing about the click system is it uses an existing valve stem. So all you gotta do is carry one or two spare valve cores with you and a puller. And, I mean, hopefully you're already flat at that point. Just pop out your stupid click system that no one else has and then thread in a Presta valve and you're good to go.
Or just never thread in the click valve and skip all those steps.
Yeah, I mean, I don't fully disagree, but I mean, I'd give the click system a try. Maybe it's cool, but I don't know. I've also, like Matt, I've been pumping up Presta valves for a really, really long time. I have never broken one off. I've maybe bent one degree. Just be careful with what you're doing. Don't, like, just use one hand and just go reef on a lever. Like, hold the damn pump head with your left hand and then lock it with your right hand and you're good to go. It's not difficult.
Yeah.
I don't know what neighbors are doing right now. I mean, it sounds like there is a full size. I live in a townhouse and it is 8:30. And it sounds like somebody is outside with an actual full-size excavator, like, taking down a building. I have no fucking idea what's happening right now.
Back in Memphis, this was probably, God, this was 20 years ago at least. One day, so I lived in a duplex, and I thought that, like, it was like a pilot crash pad on the other side. And occasionally they would get, like, kind of loud and rowdy, just depending on the group of them that was in there. And I was like, fuck, did they just push a fucking piano down the stairs? It just, like, rumbled the whole house and, like, the window panes shook. And then a few minutes later, I saw on television there was a fucking earthquake.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
I was like, oh.
No, this is not an earthquake. This is clearly machinery outside. But it's not like I have a field next to my house or something. Or someone's cutting a tree down. There's no trees. Like, what the fuck is happening right now?
Did you guys see that Ari got most of their stolen bikes back?
Yes.
I did. They didn't seem to go into super depth, but I didn't watch the video. It just seemed like they found out that basically they got semi-duped and the person that picked up their shipment of bicycles was not actually a shipping company. They were just a bunch of dudes.
Well, and the guys were trying to sell them on the internet in California, like on Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace and whatnot. Like they were trying to sell bikes that weren't released yet on
those places.
Yeah. And nice. they got found.
Outstanding move. Now, do we want to talk about the demo? They finally took the cover off the demo.
Oh, yeah? I don't think I saw that.
Oh, you didn't?
There was like a picture. It was for like, what was it, Specialized Tires or something? And there was a dude jumping, and I was like, zoom in on that.
Wasn't there a video that got maybe taken down about it, though?
This is just pictures of it, but no one would say anything about it. And there's some never-before-seen brakes on there. And a couple of people were like, those are Brembos. Dude, that is 100% a fucking Matchmaker clamp. Like, so I don't think it's a Brembo mountain bike brake. I think it's a
There's a bunch of levers that have very Matchmaker-ish things now. So I don't know if that's patented or not. Or maybe you can get away with it in some certain capacity. The TRP, the new TRP, it's called just the Evo Pro, maybe? It's not called the DHR anymore. The Evo Pro has a new clamp design. I think it's more similar to the Shimano one, but it's like a, I can't tell if it's Shimano or Matchmaker. I haven't looked super close, but it's updated.
Hold tight, Kenny.
So TRP.
No, Evo Pro. I just looked that up.
And yeah, maybe it's just the Shimano one, because I know they do a lot of Shimano-esque things. It uses Shimano pads, et cetera, et cetera.
I just sent you a link via the telephone. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I've got the... I am actually looking at both the new Evo Pro TRP and also this news article now. I did find it.
Yeah. I mean...
And I did see these like pictures.
Like that straight up look...
Yeah, I mean, let's look at the caliper. So...
Well, but the big thing is that head-on handlebar shot where it says these look pretty much production ready to me.
Yeah, I don't think that's a Matchmaker. I think that's wider than a Matchmaker. Look how wide that is.
It's kind of like more wide and square. And also they have a...
I'm going to say that's either...
in the lever.
It's either a Hayes or a Brembo / Ohlins. That's my guess.
Yeah, it does look very Hayes-like.
That reach adjustment is very Hayes. But that brake crush nut thing...
Boot?
The brake boot is very... SRAM.
I don't know. Brake boots all kind of look the same.
It's, no, they
it's
don't.
A round black rubber thing.
It does. I actually agree, though. It does have a SRAM look to it. The little rubber thing.
All the SRAM ones are round. All the TRP ones are round. This one is shaped to match the lever body, which is very SRAM adjacent. I don't know, man.
All right. Can we talk about something else that's SRAM adjacent?
Yeah, but I'm going to shit on this a little bit.
SRAM launches AXS wireless upgrade kit for mechanical T-type mountain bike drivetrains.
Yes.
So you can change out the upper, like I guess the like the upper part of the derailleur and make it into a AXS transmission derailleur.
I'll let Matt shit on it first, and I'll probably shit on it in a similar fashion.
I just don't understand why you would take a... So what you have to do is... let me back up. Mechanical transmission, which I really wish we could just call it transmechanical, but I don't think that'll fly.
Also, the thing that's kind of weird about it is, I mean, I'm glad this is out. It's an option. But transmission mechanical just came out.
Yeah, this is for... I know what this is for. I'll answer that first, which is this is for the customer that buys a bicycle that has mechanical transmission and wants to put wireless on it. I understand that. Like, hey... This is the bike I can afford. Maybe it's an aluminum bike, so it comes with a, you know, 90 kit.
At the end of the day, though, let's just talk about the cost.
Hold on. That's where I'm going, Kenny. You said you were going to let me go first.
You're taking so long. With this,
well, my big complaint is you're going to have, like, transmission mechanical only works within itself. So when you buy this upgrade kit, you're going to end up with a shifter that only works with transmission mechanical.
Yes.
And some derailleur parts, and that has zero value in the aftermarket world.
That's my biggest grind. Like, same exact thing. You end up with a carcass of a derailleur. What the fuck are you going to do with that?
Also, the thing that really, like, this is on Bike Rumor. They're like, that's a total cost of $676.
It saves you, $75.
No, it saves you $126 is what they say.
Oh, well,
But
maybe they're talking about cost, but SRAM said $75.
Well, this is what I'm really struggling with. If you're in that situation, where you really want to upgrade it, you have one of two options, in my opinion, which is you can spend this money, right? Or for 1,000 complete, like, how much does this thing cost? I haven't found the price yet.
It's GX only. It's, I think it's $75 less than just whatever a derailleur and shifter would be.
Yeah, so it's $550 is what I'm seeing here. I finally found the price. For $1,000, you can buy a complete electronic GX group.
Yeah, but you don't need that. You have a chain and a cassette and everything that's perfectly happy. Why not just take off a functional just go buy a damn shifter and a derailleur and take off your current shifter and derailleur and sell it to someone or put it in a drawer and then it's fully functional.
And my point I was going to say is, why don't you just wait until your shit's clapped and then just put a whole fresh ass drivetrain on your bike with a new chain, a new cassette? Heaven forbid you put a new crank set with a new chain ring on your bike. I mean, it's not that, like, what is a GX? I haven't sold a GX cassette yet because it's still pretty new. So I don't know that cost off the top of my head.
I mean, between $200 and $300. I think it's around $250, just like the old one.
Yep. So it's the old one was $235. This one's $250. GX transmission chain. I think those are $50. Oh, yep, they're $50. I thought they were $55. I mean, so yeah, I would have a really hard time not just waiting and refreshing all of my shit at once.
I would just spend $600 and something and go get the derailleur and the shifter, and you just put it on there, and then go sell someone your shifter and derailleur that's mechanical that you don't want. You'll end up with more money, because what are you going to do with a carcass of a derailleur?
Right. Or this is really revolutionary. Hear me out, team. Let's say you have bike number one that has transmission 90. You have bike number two that happens to be UDH, and it's all clapped out. You put a full group on your bike, and then you move your mechanical stuff over to your clapped bike, and then you take your clap stuff and you put it on a townie bike. I understand why SRAM did this. It's the whole customer can't afford the nicer electronic bike because the nicer bike comes with nicer suspension, nicer wheels. It's a, you know, maybe they don't offer that in aluminum, yada yada. It's a way to upgrade your customer on the spot and close a sale. I understand all of that. I also think that this is a solution that found its own problem.
It's weird. I have no other way to say it. It's weird.
All right.
Let's talk about, not that. That thing's hideous. Not that. But let's talk about the dry fan aims to make cleaning hydration pack reservoirs a breeze.
It's just a little hand fan, isn't it? Oh, it goes like straight on the fate and the mouth of it.
It's a fan that fits into like a Camelback reservoir. And the company name is Drye, D-R-Y-E. The name stands for Don't Ruin Your Equipment. It reduces reservoir drying time to hours instead of days. It takes an hour per liter for the reservoir to dry, which I think that's a cool way to break that down. And then let's see, rechargeable, so you don't even have to do it somewhere that you can reach a doodad, like a plug.
Just search for loose double or triple A batteries, which is what something that size would probably normally take.
No, I mean, it's pretty cool. And it comes with a cleaning brush that is more like a gun cleaning thing. So you can put
like a
little
drain snake.
Well, no, it you can put patches in it.
Oh.
So instead of just running some little bristly brush through there, you can actually run like a little claw through there. This is starting on Kickstarter for $30. That's pretty cool. It only works with Camelback for now, right now.
All right.
So, I don't know. I think it's pretty cool. I mean, yeah. I tried buying a little fish tank thing, and that didn't work. The internet lied to me. Can we talk about the Formula Selva S fork with low progression air spring? It has a larger, 10% larger positive air chamber to make a more linear curve. But then bros can just...
The gold is new again.
So bros can just jam more tokens in there. Oh, no. Huh. I don't know. I'm not going to ride it. There you go. But what else are we going to talk about tonight? Did anyone send in bikes? Memorable bikes? Did we ever get to talk about that?
We got one.
So we still got... Yeah. We got a couple of things before maybe we jump into listener-adjacent stuff. The Countercycle tuned mass damper. Mm. Did you see that?
I didn't
look at it.
So
Andrea doesn't look at the old pink bike.
It is a dongle that you bolt on to essentially a headset spacer, and it hangs down near your head tube, and it's a tuned mass damper, so it, yeah, you can look those up. But it offers some damping to the up and down motions of your bike, but it's not directly suspension. So it uses its mass to counteract what's going on, essentially. And there's a bunch of science behind it and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
I think we talked about, I don't know if it was that one, but...
I don't think we've ever talked about anything like this.
It was a while back. We have, like, once.
Oh, maybe. Okay. It's possible that they teased something at some point and I just forgot about it. But the most interesting takeaway I have is, at least on this one person's test where they do controls, as in it's mounted on the bike, but they don't know, like, what's inside of it. And it was basically 50-50 on them getting it right versus wrong on whether it was there or not. So that doesn't bode well, in my opinion. It cost $300 and it weighs a pound. So yeah, it's a cool idea, cool concept. I'm glad people are thinking outside the box. I'm not saying it has no place, but maybe in its current iteration, yeah, it'd be neat to have a bigger sample size where more people try it and it's like an actual control test. And I'd be interested to see if people can actually name that, hey, there's not only can I tell a difference, but is it actually a good difference? But these people couldn't even tell that there was a difference. So that's not good.
I agree. Yeah. If you can't tell, you can't tell.
It's kind of like a shake weight that you can't see shaking in there.
No. Yeah, I get it. I understand how tuned mass dampers work. But yeah, it's just really like
maybe that would be a thing. Maybe you could I'll bet you can get shake weights pretty cheap now, and you could make a 3D printed thing that like holds your shake weight to your head tube, but it's in the off position, so it just shake weights.
Oh, damn. The 5-pound shake weight is currently unavailable on Amazon.
I found what we talked about. It's made by Rimpact. They had one that was like a concept that goes in the, like in the steer tube.
Yeah, like in the EDC steer tube hole. Dude, you can get a 2.5-pound shake weight for $32. Holy shit.
Boom. I think I found the thing. Did it make like an even babier version than a 2.5?
Well, but more has to be better.
Let's see. So, well, you don't want it to be too heavy, though. I mean, we're riding bicycles here.
No, let's not get off on the shake weight tangent.
No, look, Kenny, we're going to put shake weights and we're going to mount them on the fork legs. And that's definitely going to make the bike
feel better. Yeah, AI says that 2.5 pounds is the smallest shake weight they've ever made.
Nothing says you can't just drill some holes in it.
Shake weight for women. Interesting.
I want to put a question out there to listener land. Has anyone ridden the Williams Racing Products Zero Drag DT Swiss internals? I think this is the first kook thing in a very long time that I've been somewhat interested in.
I have not heard of it. What is it?
It is a clutch for a DT.
Okay, so it's like a Sprag. It's a Sprag clutch that slots into a DT hub.
Well, but a tiny back pedal kicks it into neutral. So there's zero drag and the wheel can roll either direction in that instance. And then they claim that the engagement is similar to a 36 tooth ratchet. So forget an O-chain, forget a rim pack chain damper, all that stuff. You just throw this in your hub and bada bing, bada boom, off you go.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm really afraid to try to order one because they come from Australia and I know it would take a long time and it's probably going to cost close to $400 by the time it's all said and done. But
yeah, you could. I mean, while you're there, though, you could also get some jump meat.
I want some jump meat jerky.
We had some once.
I know. I want more. I just said I want some, not that I hadn't had it.
I don't know. What are your thoughts, Kenny?
Skeptical, but I would try it.
I'm thinking I'm going to go all in on the DT ecosystem.
Dear Lord, I've got a thing to say. Maybe I shouldn't.
No, say it.
No, it's going to make people sad.
No, make them sad.
Placed an order with an undisclosed hub company for a hub. And yeah, it was going to take like 4 weeks to get it. It's just, I get it. Stuff happens, but man, like that's just too long. That's it.
Was it made here?
It's made here, yeah. Well, I'm not going to say what company it is.
Was it east or west of you?
Nope. Stop. Nope, not happening.
So back on the tuned mass damper subject, the Rimpact one, they did have A and B placebo testing. Their testing has shown theirs that fits in your steer tube. Riders are around 1 second per minute faster in blind timed A-B placebo testing, and that was 6 riders, 120 timed runs, ranging from 1 minute up to 6 minutes. So that's not a huge amount for just your average
rider. I would say that's extremely significant. 1 second per minute?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to be 1/60th faster on average? That's like a really big deal.
Well, yeah, for like things like downhill racing, where, yeah, especially at like the pointy end of downhill or enduro, you're talking about just seconds between the top, you know, 3 to 5 riders. But, you know, for just like your average riding around on the trail, probably wouldn't be a big difference. But yeah, their system is, I'm guessing the other one that Matt, or no, that you brought up, they had to hang it outside the steer tube, because I'm assuming Rimpact has some patents on putting one inside the steer tube. And they are shipping theirs now. Next batch shipping May 2025. And they are 180 pounds.
That's like dollar pounds, not like it's a 180 pound unit for your
bike.
Yeah,
I don't think they actually give a weight on here.
What if you put one on the rear as well, and then they're tuned together?
Like one in your seat tube or something?
Yeah, or like stick it off the back axle like the old Brain?
Well, when they get out of phase with one another, your bike just catches on fire.
Yeah, you're just fucked. You just get into a death wobble. You just tank slapper at it for no reason whatsoever.
All right.
That would actually be a really fun experiment, is to have two of them and intentionally make them like tuned way differently and see how fucked up the bike rides.
Yeah, the Rimpact one does come with 3 different strength of springs. So, yeah.
That'd be a good challenge. Let's make the bike that rides the most fucked up possible. Just have horrible settings on the fork and the shock. You got 2 different tuned mass dampers, front and rear. Maybe even have a 3rd one in the steer tube. All kinds of crazy
shit. Like put one in the rear hub.
Yeah, yeah.
So as your bike, you know, moves side to side on the trail, like,
all right,
we've got a
tuned carbon bar with like 100% more elasticity on the right side versus the left.
No, I'm gonna go through the easiest way to make a bike ride really terribly. Okay, shorten the fork 20 millimeters and then underinflate it a lot, and set the rebound to full slow. And then you're going to cut 3 inches off one side of the bar.
Yeah.
And then you're going to put the brakes on moto style. And then you put the rear aired up.
Put your saddle on backwards.
No. We're just going to put it at a slightly odd angle with no dropper post. And then just set the rear up with ultra fast rebound. And we're going to cut all the outer knobs off both tires and run them at 40 PSI. And by the way, it is going to be a non-clutched 10-speed X-O derailleur.
Yeah, that's great. I like it.
And the brakes are going to be Shiguras, because people love that shit for some reason. Actually, I had someone like ask me about that, and I was like, I don't know, man. Doesn't sound like a good idea to mix all that stuff together.
People get bored.
I know, but Shigura is when you run Shimano levers with Magura calipers, or vice versa. I don't know anymore. I don't care.
So do you bleed the lever with Shimano mineral oil and the caliper with Magura mineral
oil?
Well,
here's the deal.
Like, neither the Magura lever or caliper are good. Why would you choose one of those?
No, this is what you have to do, folks at home. Think of the system as 3 equal parts. You have a caliper, a lever, and a hose. If you're running 2 parts Shimano, 1 part Magura, you use 2 parts Shimano fluid mixed with 1 part Royal Blood. And if you have, you know, 2 parts Magura, 1 part Shimano, you do 2 parts Royal Blood, 1 part pink juice.
And ooh, then you would have like a cool purple color.
Yeah. And the only way to make this work well is with Clark's pads and rotors.
All right. We should probably get to some listener questions.
Let's read. We have one favorite bike, and that's it. And I'm fine with.
And we never talked about our favorite bikes officially, did we? So I'm not saying we should do it tonight. I think that could easily take 30 minutes between all 3 of us. But maybe next episode or an episode later, we can discuss our favorite bikes and why they are.
Yeah, we can definitely do that. Matt's going to read it.
All right, this is from Midget Money. The best bike I ever had was a full factory suspension, carbon everything YT Capra. But probably my favorite bike was a 2006 Santa Cruz Heckler with a coil and bomber free ride 150 fork.
I got it off one of the Syndicate team riders who used it a few days in Whistler. He included bottom bracket cranks, headset, and stem bars for $600 or something crazy like that. I built it up and it rode so well I never even touched the suspension settings, especially compared to my previous bike, which was a Kona Dog. That thing was a freaking dog.
Those Kona Dogs. Bomber, that was like the stereotypical mountain rental bike that is absolutely clapped out and weighs 45 pounds.
That Bomber oil coil fork was still one of the most plush forks I have ever had, and the coil in the rear gave so much traction, especially climbing. Is that weird? I was cleaning trails I'd never cleaned before, Galbraith Mountain in Bellingham. Anyways, that was a sick bike. Now I got rid of all my mountain bikes and have a Trials Moto and 300 Enduro two strokes, best suited to Kauai terrain. Well, there you go. I mean, good traction climbs well. And also, like, if you were coming off of a Kona Dog, like,
yeah,
a fucking, I don't know, a Strider would climb better than that.
Yeah. I just looked up pictures of them and I wasn't surprised at what they look like. All right. Well, that's what we got for tonight. If you want to tell us about your favorite bike, go to jraShow.com and fill out the form entry. And just so you know, if you give us, you know, if you fill out that form entry to email us, you will absolutely get no spam or newsletters or anything like that. Look, I don't even keep up with JRA Instagram. I absolutely do not have any sort of bandwidth to send anyone a newsletter. All right. So don't be afraid to put your email in there and yeah, go there. Tell us either about your favorite bike or ask a listener question. So our patrons starting at $10 per month. And now we have a $750 per month patron, now an $8 per month patron. And then our $10 a month patrons are Zozo, Tom P. Bleaches His Stink Wrinkle, Tom's P. Timothy, Ty, Tennessee Zach, Taylor Swift, Taper Bore Pro, Skunk in Your Trap, Samuel, Ryan, Rock Bitch, Jake.
Oh, fuck you.
Ride Time Extended.
Pork Chop Sandwiches.
Noah, My Pal Dal, MTB Shenanigans,
Mike Jones,
Leland, Josh, Jim the Fucked Up Trike Guy, JC, Jared, Jake D, Holden, Two Dicks, Green Giant, Gordon, Fuck Bike Rumors, Shitty Website, Frank the Tank, Eric, Chunk Norris, Captain Fickle, Cannondale's New Fork, The Stranger, Cam Irish One, Bill, Bearded Bag O' Dicks, Barrel O' Dicks, Anus, Balls Ain't His Balls, Angry JRA Forever, AJ Aaron underscore. At $11.11 per month, we've got Single Speed Racing, where average becomes a lifestyle choice. Patamelon Disco at $14 Australian, Dean at $16.50 Australian, and at $20 a month, Scott Poop Wrench, Joe, I Want a Mustache Ride from Burt Reynolds, Brian. We've got Savannah at $26.06 per month, Harley at $30, Troy at $31, and Six Pack Outdoors, we kudos our own rides at $50.
Oh, man.
There's a 2010 Kona Stab Supreme on eBay for $15,000.
Oh, God. That sounds like some kind of money laundering
something. 100%.
All right, are you ready to wrap it up?
Yeah.
Don't forget to spay and neuter your animals.
All right, Bob.
Shut it down.
All right, everyone. Thank you all for listening and good night.
Thanks for tuning in to the Just Riding Along Show.
There's some shit coming out of your pants.